I grew up in the 1970s. On many free days, my brother, sister, and I left the house in the morning and would circle back to it only when necessary, often not before nightfall. We roamed the neighborhood, spontaneously meeting up with kids like us, getting into and out of trouble, playing ball, encountering and creating and solving problems in the field as we went along. We hardly ever told our parents where exactly we went, or how far we would wander. There was no way to contact them other than running a long way back home. Later, I became an academic, writing a bunch of books that dealt with risk, books about human error, safety-critical worlds, system failure. I practiced what I preached, learning to fly the Boeing 737 and flying part-time for an airline out of Copenhagen. I learned the value of procedures and rules, of policies and compliance and regulations, but I often wondered about them too. I wondered about having to hold a handrail when going up or down stairs, or being fired if you didn't, or ensuring that coffee was carried in a cup with a lid on it, or get written up if it wasn't. These rules seemed petty, nanny-ish, patronizing, infantilizing. Yet these were the rules that, like at many other worksites, were in place on Deepwater Horizon on the eve of the worst oil disaster ever, the Macondo well blowout, resulting in 11 deaths, numerous injuries, and the biggest oil spill in the history of humanity. Over the past 20 years, many countries have seen a doubling or even tripling of the amount of safety bureaucracy and compliance requirements. And yet, their safety outcomes haven't improved much at all, particularly not their serious injury or fatality rates. If we do more of the same, ever more minute compliance demands, more accounting and tabulating of low-consequence incidents and injuries, more checklists, more procedures, paper trails, we will probably just get more of the same. In fact, it seems that more bureaucracy and compliance are less about managing the safety of the people we once felt responsible for than they are about managing the liability of the people they work for. Today, we make people do a lot of work that solves someone else's problems, but that does nothing to improve how work is done locally. For sure, bureaucratic initiatives from the last century, such as regulation, standardization, and centralized control, can take credit for a lot of the progress on safety that we have made. But bureaucracy and compliance may well have taken us as far as they can. We have produced a situation where a sizable chunk of national income is eaten up by bureaucratic clutter and compliance activities, surveillance, risk assessing, reporting, auditing, rule writing, policing, inspecting, and much more. It exacts a heavy price on our economies, with ever-shrinking marginal returns. And in the meantime, we are hollowing out something fundamental about the humanity of work. The joys of local ownership, of initiative and innovation, the dignity and triumph of collaborative problem-solving, the possibility for disruptive insights that break through a constraint that everyone else took as given. There is value in celebrating and protecting these things for their own sake, because they can make work deeply meaningful. But there is more. These, paradoxically, are precisely the sources of resilience that we need to tap into to make the next push into greater safety. Standardized, compliant ways of working, after all, are good at dealing with the risks that we already know. But they are virtually incapable of pointing us to the risk that we don't know about yet. The gradual drift into catastrophic failure, for example, that occurs underneath a shiny surface of green audits and compliance and low incident rates. We can get glimpses of that, however, if we learn how success is actually created, given goal conflicts, organizational obstacles, and resource limitations at the sharp end. Stifling these sources of insight by imposing ever greater compliance demands, ever more suffocating liability management, means shooting ourselves in the foot.